Welcome to this AOT podcast. This is Amanda Carlisle, and we're going to be focusing on client skills to win new business. Now, just to frame this podcast for you, the thing that we're going to be focusing on are situations where this is a brand new client. They have never met you before. They know nothing about your organization or business. And these are skills to start the long process of building their relationship with you to have a long-term sustainable business relationship with your organization. The sections that we're going to be looking at is to ask yourself the question, what do or what might our clients want from us, and what are the benefits to them of engaging and doing business with us? Secondly, we're going to be looking at the process of building that relationship to move towards purchase. Thirdly, we're going to be talking about building rapport and trust. Fourthly, gathering intelligence. And finally, linking your service or product with the benefits that they seek as an individual and an organization. Now, first question, what might be their interest? New clients, the more that we develop customer intimacy and the more that we really understand what their business is trying to achieve, what is important to their organization, and what are the key challenges for them in driving change, the higher the likelihood that we're going to be able to make a connection and be able to sell our products and services to them. So what are they interested in? Long-term success, and most organizations now have a pretty comprehensive website where you can go on there and look at their mission statement, their values, their objectives. And if they're a large organization, they might have all their financial performance targets on there too. Clients generally, from a personal point of view and a business point of view, are interested in results, measurable results where they want to engage with suppliers who are going to make a difference to them. Clients are also interested in how they can make an impact with their stakeholders and their customers. Most clients are on their own supply chain as well. So the more that we can understand their supply chain and what challenges they have in that, that's going to enable us to engage with them at a higher level. So thinking through and anticipating and trying to find out as much about the organization as possible before we engage in conversations with people that work in those organizations, it's going to pay dividends for us. Now, the process, before we start engaging with a client or a client's organization, first of all, we need to ask ourselves the question, why? Why would I want to spend time and invest time in building a relationship with this client? What does success look like? How much do they need to spend with me to know that I've made a successful long-term business relationship? So outcome clarification is important. And then just like any business relationship, we have to go through building rapport and trust with that person who represents the organization. Building rapport, using questioning and listening skills to build intelligence on what is it specifically that they're wanting to change and how they're wanting to change it. Then we're going to use the techniques of repeating back to them what you have heard. Ultimately, throughout this process, relating back the services that you can offer with the benefits that they seek. And again, I emphasize that the purpose of this podcast is not about upselling and cross-selling to your existing clients. This is a brand new relationship. And on the difficulty rating, if selling to your existing customers, let's say, is a 2 out of 10, selling to a customer that has neither heard of you or has a relationship with you is probably a 10 out of 10. So the next step, building rapport and trust. Let me set your expectation here. It takes time, probably from a first conversation to actually getting a client meeting can take several months. So how we need to build rapport, and what I mean by rapport, is that they are open to your suggestion of having a meeting or further dialogue. We have to build that rapport before they will make a decision to want to engage with you. This is not small talk, this is big talk. And we can build rapport at an unconscious level by matching and mirroring body language, matching and mirroring the sound of the voice and also language patterns, and matching and mirroring their state of mind. Now, if you've listened to the other series of podcasts, you will know the importance of body language and language patterns. And the key thing here is not to communicate in a way that we like to be communicated with. It's to understand how our clients process information to enable them to come to a decision. And the key word there is decision. You might have had lots of very nice conversations with your clients, but they never get to the point of making a decision. And this is the purpose and the focus of this podcast. So building rapport, let's look at some key elements. Let's have a look at language patterns. Language patterns are extremely important in connecting with your client's understanding of what you are selling to them. It has to be done with clarity. And clarity for them may mean they want to be able to see what it is that you're offering to them. So you will see from the slide, visual language patterns are all about showing the client what you're offering so they can take a view on it. They can really have a look at what it is that your service is. And you can show them in a visual way, maybe a picture or a process map, of the benefits of engaging with your organisation. They need to create that mental picture to know they can then move on to the next step of making a decision. Auditory clients want to really listen and really hear what it is that you're offering. It's got to sound right to them. And you've really got to tune in to and enable them to feel that you are all singing from the same hymn sheet. They will want to hear from you what your understanding is and what benefits you feel are going to be delivered to them by engaging your services. So auditory language patterns. Then we have kinesthetics. Some clients will make a decision to buy based on their gut feel. So kinesthetic language is one way of enabling them to get that sensation, to get that gut feel. We can pick up this by listening to our clients if they use the words feel, touch, grasp. I really want to get a hold on what it is that you're offering. I need to get some concrete benefits of using you. And they will also use words such as hard, solid, tap into, let's scrape over the glossy surface and really get a handle on what it is that you're offering. So kinesthetic language. And finally, we've got the auditory digital. And many of you listening to this podcast, if you come from a finance profession, these words will appeal to you. It's all about making sense of something, of getting a deeper understanding so you can think through and process the information in a rational and logical way. Auditory digital customers will want to see the prices and the digital information, the quantifiable benefits of why they need to consider making a change and buying from you. So that's step number one, the language patterns. Step number two is how you sound. So if you're engaging with clients and your first starting point is on the phone, you need to show them that you are like them by the way that you sound like them. We need to tap into and match and mirror the tone, the speed, the loudness, and the intonation in their voice patterns. Because in building rapport over the telephone, they cannot see your body language. The only thing at a subconscious level that they can do is hear that you are like them at some level. And the tone of the voice makes up 38% of what we communicate when they can see us. When they can't see us and it's over the telephone, the voice is really important. Now, for gentlemen in the audience, I do not want you to start engaging with new clients. Let's say if it's a lady at the other end of the phone and the pitch of your voice, I'm not suggesting to sound like Mickey Mouse, but just to take it up a few levels if possible. And for the ladies, if we're engaging in a male-dominated industry, and there's a lot of men in the audience, of course, ourselves as ladies can take the tone of that voice down a little bit just to match and to mirror the language and the sound of the voice over that telephone. Also, the speed of the voice is extremely important, and we can speed it up and we can also slow it down. So, things to think about. Listen to the voice, and in the first couple of minutes of a conversation, you need to match and mirror the speed, the tone, the sound, and the loudness of that voice. Now, if you have an opportunity to meet a client where they can see you, obviously body language kicks in here at a subconscious level in building rapport. 55% of what we communicate is in our body language. So in our body language, we need to match a mirror. Look for the posture, how somebody is positioning themselves. Look for the gesturing. Look for where they breathe. Is it at the top of the chest, the middle of the chest, or in the gut? Look for how often they blink and their facial expressions. What we're talking about here is the first 2, 3, 4 minutes of matching and mirroring. You will feel very conscious doing this, but believe me, if it's done discreetly, your client, your potential client, will be unaware of what you are doing. So building rapport with brand new clients is essential. It's not a nice to have, it has got to be done. Now, going back to that process map, once we've got rapport, we need customer intimacy. We need to show new clients that we really understand their world. So in managing and controlling conversations with them, the objective is to get the client to do the majority of the talking of what is important to them. The way that we do this is by asking really good questions. We lead them down the path of where we want to get them to by asking open questions. Open questions cannot be answered by a yes or a no. And what we're doing is gathering more and more detail to build up that picture of why potentially they would want to ultimately buy from us. Questions are where, what, why, when, how, and who. And any subject, you can give over a confident impression of being very interested in it by just asking those questions. So whether it's finance, rocket science, cooking, we can ask, where do you do this? What is really important to you? Why is it significant? When do you perform this activity? And how do you like to do it? And who are the key people that are being involved in this process? So we get the client to open up. And really good questions is, what are the key challenges affecting your business at the moment? What is really important to the organization? And how will you know that the organization has been successful? What does success look like? And then we really get an understanding of what it is that they're wanting to achieve so we can enable them to get it. Now, if we have a client maybe who is talking too much, and we want to show that A, that we've listened, we've understood, and we can summarize what they've told us, we use limiting questions. So for example, a limiting question is a question that can be answered by a this or a that. So what you're telling me is you'd like this podcast to finish in 15 minutes or 20 minutes. Is it 15 minutes or 20 minutes? And the question basically directs the client down a this or that. It also enables the client to feel that they are in control because you've given them an option of this or that. So really useful techniques. The next technique in gathering intelligence, and also at a subconscious level, the client gets to hear that you are really on their wavelength, is through paraphrasing. And paraphrasing is using the same language, the same words, to read back to the client that you really understand what it is that is important to them. It shows that you are like them at some level, that you've really listened, that you've understood, and that you're talking their language. And to you, it may seem explicitly and maybe blatantly obvious that you are copying back to them. But I guarantee with practice, your client will be unaware. Okay, so in this process of building rapport, using questions and listening techniques to gather intelligence, we need to really tease out what the linkage is between the service and product that you offer and what their organisational and personal aspirations are. And what I'm going to talk to you now is the difference between features and benefits. In a sales situation, it's not about what we as salespeople want to sell and the features of our products. It's about enabling us to understand the benefits to the client of using what it is that we can offer. And there is a very distinct difference. Features are defined by you as the supplier. They are factual. They tend to be very functional. They can be quantifiable and logical. And they're easy to write down on a piece of paper. The client might not be interested in the features. However, the client is very interested in realizing their own business benefits. Business benefits are defined by the client and by the context of their organization. They could be factual and they could be perceived. Benefits are how the client could use your product or service and when they would use them and who would use them in their organization. Benefits enable the client to do something new, do something better, or to stop doing something completely. And as you're building up this picture, this very comprehensive and detailed understanding of the client's world, we're looking for a connection between what we offer and how it's going to help the client to do something new, to do something better, or to stop doing something completely. So finally, in this last step, we're looking to make a connection between the features of our products and services and how this connects with enabling the client to do new things, better things, and to stop doing some things. Now, in making this connection, we have to be aware that some clients are motivated to buy by enabling them to do things differently in the future. It's about enabling them to forecast how they're going to get future results and achieve future objectives. Some clients do not work in that way. They are not motivated by the future. They are motivated by avoiding problems in the past. Some clients need to know what the consequences are of not using your services to know that they will want to buy it. These sort of clients are risk averse. They want to know the problems and the consequences of moving away from where they currently are to enable them to buy your product. So be aware, in connecting your product, we need to be able to gather the benefits and also the consequences of not buying your product. So just to summarise, this AAT podcast, it was for engaging with brand new clients, and the sections that we've looked at are: what do clients want, the process of managing the conversations with them, some techniques in building rapport, number four, in gathering intelligence through questioning and listening, and finally, using our intellectual prowess to link your outcome to want to sell with their organisational benefit. Thank you very much for listening to this AAT podcast. That's all for now.